A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Celebrate. Celebrate. We know that Jesus went to the cross, and it's a very serious thing, this Christianity. His was a great sacrifice for us. Very serious. But we're saved. And we have a reason today to celebrate. I like Snoopy. And I like the happy dance. You know, the one where he's kind of to the side and his legs are just a blur as he's... you remember. Total abandonment to joy. Now, that's probably how I'd look if I was dancing, if I didn't fall down. You know, someone says, you know, I go to weddings sometimes and they have the dancing part of the reception and it's like, aren't you going to get up with Mona and dance? I say, you wouldn't want to see that. You know, so it's, I have no rhythm. Amen? I have my own rhythm. Okay. St. Augustine said the Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. What a beautiful picture that is. We have cause to rejoice. And Paul would say rejoice. And I say it again. Rejoice. We have good times in our lives. In fact, the gospel begins with the angels. The angel said to them, "Fear not, listen. I bring you good news. This news will make you very glad, for it's for all people." You know, sometimes we're asked the question, what about those people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? We should be in the business of telling them. I'm reading a couple books together and it's stirring my soul. One is called Radical, the other is called Share Jesus Without Fear by Bill Fay. You put them both together, especially what I read this morning, and it's like, wow. What more can we do? Can we do more than what we've already done? How is God calling us to bring this good news into the world? The fact is, it's not limited. It's for everyone. And it's cause for celebration. Nehemiah, even back in the Old Testament, said, "Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Too tired to celebrate? What do we need? We need the joy of the Lord welling up from inside of us. That relationship that we have with Jesus Christ that makes us want to dance like Snoopy. I almost introduced you this morning to the happy song. We sang it at a church down in Spring Valley, or New City, I guess it was, New City Gospel. And it was so funny because they put it up. Some people have more creativity for the background on their overheads than I do. It was a big yellow happy face. And over it was the words to the happy song, "Oh, I can dance 1,000 miles. I could sing 1,000 songs because of your great love." And I always remember the little guy with the tambourine. As he somehow, I don't know how he did it because I just don't have that kind of rhythm, but he came across the front of the church with that thing, smacking it all the way across the church, singing, "I could sing 1,000 songs because of your great love." And it gets inside you, doesn't it? You know, the one we're doing tonight, we've practiced for 2 or 3 years. "Honey in the Rock." That's going through my mind. Oh, there's honey in the rock. For you, my brother, my sister. What's honey? Something to celebrate, isn't it? You know, take that honey and enjoy that honey and celebrate. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit, we should have joy. We should produce joy. It should just be a part of our lives as Christians. This is a joyous experience. Where does our blessing, where does our happiness come from? While Jesus was preaching, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. She was giving a blessing to Jesus' mom, Mary. And that's appropriate. But Jesus didn't want to limit the blessing. He didn't want to limit the joy. Didn't want to limit the happiness. He said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Blessing comes from obedience to the word of God. Jesus didn't come just to bless one or a very limited amount of people, but he came for everyone. We are blessed or we are happy when we're obedient to the word of God. And we don't have any right to happiness apart from obedience to Jesus. We have a right as Americans for the pursuit of happiness. It's right there in our founding documents. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy, but we have the right to pursue it. Now, there's a lot of different ways we can pursue happiness. That's what our men's group is about right now. We're talking about cultural Christians. And many people pursue happiness in many different ways. But there's only one true way to find the blessing or the happiness that comes from God, the real happiness that God wants us to be blessed with. And that's through obedience to his word. Not being a cultural Christian, Pat Morley would say, but being a biblical Christian. Paul would say in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice, he says, and rejoice again, because rejoicing leads to rejoicing. Tell the stories of God's blessing in your life. Let other people know how he has blessed you. Don't be anxious, he says. Replace the fear with faith. What has you scared this morning? Develop that faith that comes from living in the presence of God. How can I do this? How can I give up my fear for faith? Only as I dwell on the positive blessings of the Lord in my life. To emphasize the good things that the Lord has done. We are to think on those positive things. Say, what is my mind now telling me to do? What can I do? Or how can I please God? How can I please my spouse? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? And in the same way, ask, how can I please the Lord? Think about things in a positive way. Oh man, I've got to clean the kitchen. I've got to clean out the garage. Hey. So many times our attitudes go in that direction, don't they? Oh, no, it's time to do that again. We need to see the result instead of the process. Think about what it's going to be like to have a clean kitchen or a clean garage and say, wow, it looks nice. I clean the kitchen at our house, and Mona cleans the garage. No. But, you know, I used to leave dishes overnight and get up in the morning and look at the sink and go, oh, man, why didn't I do that last night? So now it's like I like to get up in the morning and see everything nice and clean. And so now as we dirty the dishes, I'm in there cleaning them up. And it makes life, it's better, isn't it? You know, it's better not to procrastinate. And so the things that we do, you know, look at them in positive ways. And Paul would say, don't be anxious for anything. You know, don't look at the negative, but look at the positive. Jesus would say the same thing. In the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus said, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. And boy, isn't that interesting? The emphasis, the biblical emphasis. How many times do we worry about things that Jesus doesn't list here? Now, we worry about a lot of things that are extras in our lives. You know, Jesus said, did you have enough to eat? You know, do you have some clothes to wear? You know, back in the day, there was only one peg on the wall for your coat. You know, you maybe had two sets of clothes, one to go to work with and one to go to church with. Probably while you were at church, you were washing the other set. My dad, you know, we were over at L.L. Bean a couple weeks ago, and he was looking for an undershirt, Under Armour. Imagine my dad, he got a wool shirt. And the lady said, oh, she says, you buy this shirt, you never have to wash it. You know, she says, I just wear mine all the time, and you know, you just don't have to wash it because all the stuff, I don't know, that you'd usually wash it for. I was going to complain. We brought a new washing machine. I have no idea how this thing cleans clothes. You know, I love to fill up the tank and put the clothes in, let them soak for a while, and then push the button and let it finish. This, it doesn't seem like it uses water. Maybe we all need to get those wool shirts. I don't know, but here's something to wear, you know what? But we have closets full of clothes, don't we? It's like you come up from the dryer with a pile of shirts and you try to cram them in there with the rest of the clothes thinking, boy, they're going to be wrinkled. But we not only worry about the necessities of life, we worry about where to put all the luxuries we have, all the stuff that we have. You know, okay, I'll run this by you. You know, just to get you. I was thinking this week, we had to have a yard sale at church and bring all of our luxuries. Bring all the things that we have that we really don't need and sell them off and send the money to Ron Brayton down in Belize. Or maybe somebody else that we know who's providing food for. Why do we keep all the stuff that we keep? And then we have a yard sale and skim a little bit off the top. And we get rid of the stuff that's just cluttering up things that we just, you know, what are we doing it for? We're doing it to make room for more stuff, aren't we? Why are we so anxious and careful about all the stuff that we have? I was talking to Mike. Mike's here today. He's going to be graduating in August and coming back up here. He said, just one of you should buy a one-way ticket down for my graduation so you can help me drive back. I said, there won't be room in your car because of all your stuff. I saw what he took down there. He says, no, Dad, I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff. Can you remember? I can remember when I could put all my stuff in a Vega. Those were the good old days. You put it in the Vega and take off. Somebody's saying, yeah, they were old days. Vegas are long gone. Oh, so much stuff. So little room. We have cause to celebrate, don't we? The Greek legend has it that there was a woman who came to the river Styx, and she's being carried across to the next life. Charon, the man who ran the ferry, reminded her that she could drink of the waters of the river and thus forget the life she was leaving. Eagerly, she said, "I will forget how I've suffered." But he pointed out, "You will also forget how you have rejoiced." "I will forget my failures," she said. "And you will forget your victories," he added. "I will forget how I have been hated," she said. "And also how you have been loved," he added. The story ends with the woman deciding it's better to retain her memory of the bad in order to retain also her memory of the good. It's also the same with our future. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know about the good things that will happen, the things that will thrill our hearts, the green pastures and still waters of Psalm 19. And we also know that the future will hold some bad things, things that will terrorize our soul, things for which we'll need the protection of the shepherd's rod and his staff. But we know all the way through God is with us, shepherding us as we travel through this valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes I think we're guilty of not counting our blessings. You ever wake up in the morning with a bad back? You know, just some of the things that I've heard people talk about, or I have a headache. But do we ever wake up and say, "God, thank you, I don't have a bad back this morning. You know, I'm feeling pretty good." Or I don't have a headache this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know, do we often count our blessings? Or is it just when something, you know, the knife sticks into our head and we get, "Oh man, I got a headache today." We need to start to think about all of the good days and all of the good times, and not take the good things for granted in our lives. And so sometimes we're tempted to just emphasize the bad times, and people are tempted to say, "Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen? Why is this going on in my life today?" But we have to realize that with the good things come also the bad. With the possibility of blessing comes the possibility of tragedy. I can remember the first bicycles we bought for Michael and Megan, and going down the dirt road at Richard's house. You know, giving them the bike, I wanted them to be able to feel the wind in their faces. I wanted them to enjoy the speed of the bicycle that's faster than they could ever run. And yet I can remember some of the terrible things that happened as well. Specifically, it was a later time this is on Melissa's list of grievances. She got a picnic basket or some little thing when the other kids got bicycles. But eventually she did get a bicycle, and coming down the street next to our house, there was a little hill. She hit some dirt and she broke her wrist. You know, we went into the doctor's office for x-rays, and he was looking right here and he said, "Oh, there's a little bit of a fracture, maybe just on this." And I said, "Well, what about this bone that looks like this?" He said, "Oh, I missed that." It's good to check those x-rays. Now, were we terrible parents because we bought Melissa a bike and she fell down and broke her? We gave her the possibility, didn't we, of being hurt with that bicycle. So were we bad parents because we wanted her to enjoy the bicycle? No. We never intended for her to hit the sand and spin out and break her wrist, but she did. Mona's mother never wanted her kids to get their driver's permit and their driver's license. They had a family friend named Arthur. And Arthur would come over, and on the sly, he took Mona and Steve over to the DMV, and they passed their permits test. And she said, "Oh, that's okay." Mona's mom said, "That's okay. You can also teach them to drive." So he taught them how to drive, and when the time came, he took them to the DMV and made appointments to get their driver's test, and they got their... Is it wrong for parents to want their kids to learn to drive? It isn't, is it? It brings a whole set, new set of challenges and helps, as parents, it helps our faith to grow. I can remember those nights when Mike didn't come home for a long time. Mona would say, go look for him. I said, he's got a car. He could be anywhere. Where would you even start to look for someone who has a car? Megan was a little easier. McDonald's, you know. She said, Dad, that was my downfall when I got the car and found McDonald's. But when you give your kid a car, or you let them drive your car, you're opening up to the possibility that they might have a car accident. You know, and our hearts go out to the people every year who we hear about. You know, they're just getting ready to graduate, and they're out there with their friends maybe a day or two before graduation or after the prom or something. Something happens and somebody's killed. Were they bad parents because they allowed their kids to have a car? No. No, they weren't. They were wanting them to have the advantages and the freedom that the car provided. And in the very same way, God gives us freedoms. Freedoms to be able to live in this life and enjoy this life and rejoice in this life and in the things that happen. But with those freedoms come also the possibility of great tragedies. And so we can suffer in this life and we can die in this life. And God took a risk in this life. And every time a person gets married, that's a risk. You don't know what the relationship is going to hold for your future. You don't know the suffering, the pain that you'll have to go through. But you're making a commitment and you're taking a chance to care for a fallible human person and commit to that husband or to that wife. And you don't know what cancer or sickness or illness you'll have to face with that person. But isn't it great to know that you have someone to go through it with? How can I practice celebration? Psalm 50 said, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbal or cymbal and dancing. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Don't limit it to just when you're in church. Praise the Lord all the time. Live in an attitude of praise. Your feet might not be dancing, but it shouldn't stop your heart. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of shouting. There was a lot of singing. There was a lot of dancing. In Exodus 15:20, Miriam led the nation in dancing when God gave them victory over the Egyptians. She said, sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his rider He has hurled into the sea. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David leapt and danced before the Lord. I don't sing that worship song, I'm going to dance like David danced, because all he had was a linen cloak on, and I'm not going to do that. Another John Mark in the New Testament got in trouble doing that, and so that's out. Laughing! Another way to celebrate. I love to laugh. Some of you know the song. Loud and long and clear. And it shouldn't have to be a secular person that tells us as Christians that we should laugh. There's a lot of laughter in this life. And it's a blessing. Proverbs 3:12. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. From Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived. He says again in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. Now, you've been around some of those people, haven't you? You can't find anything good that's happened in their lives. Always living on the dark side of the moon. But that's where they choose to live. Never let the light shine in. Use your creative gifts of fantasy and imagination. Many times these gifts are not emphasized in church, but they're very important when used for a witness. And maybe that's because most of us as pastors don't have that gift of creativity. We're kind of wordy people. You know, we think, but we don't express it in art and different things like that. I'd encourage you to go see Mabel. There's a poster in her room. It's a banner, and it has the first few verses of John chapter 14 on it, printed in letters about this high. And Brad was the one that made it for Mabel. But she has it right in a very prominent place, so everyone that comes into her room will see there the words of Jesus. And she told me one of the young, I think maybe nurse's assistants, came in one day, and she stood there looking at that banner. And Mabel only said to her, "Those are words that Jesus spoke." But it was a witness to that young girl who came in and stood there just for a few minutes reading the words of Jesus. Creativity that Brad used his gift of being able to letter the scripture so that people could read it. And we don't know when that little seed in her heart that Brad and Mabel planted may grow. But we know that people have to hear the gospel 7.6 times. See, I'm reading Share Jesus Without Fear again. 7.6 times before they trust Jesus. So maybe that was the first time she'd ever read the words of Jesus. Maybe it was the fourth time or the fifth time. But each time he's drawing us closer to himself. Celebrate with the gifts that God has given to you. Maybe you have a gift for art, or a gift for music. Other ways, celebrate your family events with the Lord. The birthdays, the weddings, anniversaries, graduations. Bring the Lord into those celebrations. Celebrate your culture's events. We all know Christmas and Easter. 4th of July and Thanksgiving, national events. Bring the Lord into those specific times of celebration. As Christians, we should commit ourselves to celebrate in the presence of the Lord, to bring Him into all of our times of celebration. So how are you feeling today? Is it a dark day? Could be for some of us. Think about God. Think about His presence in your life. Count the blessings that you have. I'm going to end with one of my favorite quotes by Paternus. It was words that he spoke to his son. Powerful words. He said, "First of all, my child, think magnificently about God. Magnify His providence. Adore His power. Pray to Him frequently and insistently. Bear Him always in your mind. Teach your thoughts to reverence Him in every place, for there is no place where He is not. Therefore, my child, fear and worship and love God. First and last, think magnificently about God. Let's pray. Father, as we ask you to bless us with your presence, we pray that our thoughts might be fixed upon you in every place we go, that we might think of who you are and your graciousness to allow us to practice your immediate presence. Help us, Lord, to be a people who celebrate, and pray, Lord, for your full blessing as we celebrate you in every area of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.